my pleasantly surprised players. This is the Dominion League annual podcast. I am your host, Strumpf, and this is the episode for May 31st, 2024. Let's get back into doing this, right? This is the wrap-up for season 63. Let's go!
Yay.
The top league division of this season featured Fika Zurichsen Jurica Momme, 2 times league champion Haka 3, 5 times league champion Tracer, and 8 times league champion VR Smith. We have seen closer seasons in A before. In the end, Yuri and VR Smith made it to finals in a repeat of the season 56 championship match, but this time Yuri snatched the win. They were favored going into the encounter, and they delivered, bringing home their first ever league championship. Congratulations! Fun fact, season 56 A division was almost entirely comprised of the same players as A division this current season, with Haka and Zerix, Jurica and VR Smith. But back to the future, apart from newly crowned champion Yuri and runner-up VR Smith, Haka and Tracer stay in A, although Haka is taking a break next season, while Zerix and Fika sadly demote. Our B tier couldn't get any bigger than this, with 14 players this season. In the end, both Bitterworm, Coil, and Shad won 58% of their games, securing promotion back to A. Congratulations! Our captain, 4 times league champion RTT, promotes from C1 on the way back to his home division at the top of league. Okay. C2, everyone. Our very own Cat Stealer played a fantastic season, 73% win rate, is promoting to B for the first time in his Dominion career, was super looking forward to playing C-Champs, and then was let down by every single one of the other C-winners. So he coerced his exhibition match partner ZW Lemon into playing said match as the unofficial C championship of the season. And if you haven't read the announcement, I'd like to encourage you to head over to the Tier Champs or the Matches channel and do so right now. Akuchi promotes from C3 back to B tier after this one season detour. Congratulations! I met Aku in person last weekend. More on that later. And steady climber Zomsraft promotes from C4 to B for the first time in their 6th season league career. Congratulations. Zandark and Gamesu promote from D1. Zandark with 65% wins. A person man and JSHS, who has one of the most confusing usernames for sure, promote from D2. Congratulations. It's like there is JSH and then there is JSHS, which is just like JSH in the plural, right? Scherer and Tias promote from D3 with 71 and 68% respectively. Very impressive. And El Taco and Pizza Planet promote from D4. Do you know who else played in D4 this season? Me!
Yay.
Over in E tier, Pokemon Fan 1937 promotes from E1. Newest Coven member NPMT20BFACG promotes from E2 after an impressive season with 22 wins, which is a 73% win rate. Diplomat even topped that by 2. Which is a win rate of 80%, and promotes from E3. Fullwagon promotes from E4. Ultimate Geek wins E5 with a 71% win rate. Student promotes from E6 with 70% wins. And Kichebo promotes from E7 with 67% wins. Congratulations, everyone! Tier Champs, the season have not concluded. We are still awaiting the DNG finals. B Champs did not take place this season, sadly, But yeah, about that C championship. I was only able to witness game one of this very unofficial C Champs match last night, but it looked like great fun. Shout out to ZW Lemon for being the bestest of sports a Cat Stealer could have hoped for. They played a Whelp Ally Noble Brigand cage match, which Dumba tells me ended 4-0 for the Stealer of Cats, who is therefore the C Champion of Hearts of Season 63. Congratulations! Student is our E Champion, HDARJ is our F Champion, Enea is our H Champion, and LaFonda is our I Champion. Congratulations, everyone, and especially these last two, Ania and LaFonda, because this is the first time we have had H and I tier championships. Regarding other tournaments, Corn Guild's 2E mix is on right now, and it is super fun, as mixes usually are. A couple of days I exclusively played these mixed kingdoms, and when I went back to the regular games, it was so weird. Like, where are the fun interactions? I don't understand. Why is this boring? We are nearing the end of the group phase with a lot of matches still to be played. Shout out to the Baker's Guild and my own guild, the Farriers, for getting things done smooth and fast. Shout out to our TOs, Derpan and For Fun for running it, and Razi, of course. And to those of you who aren't playing the tournament, I'd encourage you to either spec some of the upcoming matches or play some of the kingdoms. They really are so fun, very well curated by Danalex. Overwhelming, but really fun. So in my script, I have a section for German League, but I don't even know if that's actually happening or not, which may or may not have to do with having the server muted.
1:37 later.
Okay, so apparently there was no budget for a German League this year. Wow. Well, that's that, I guess. So for my personal weekend games, times have been very exciting. I played my very first season in D tier. I was so proud of myself. I worked my way all the way up from J tier. Very exciting. So I was obviously very, very scared. As some of you know, I struggle with competitive play a lot, and I get in my head and like, Burning Skull was in my division. What was up with that? That was not okay. Like, I'm not ready. It's not. No. But I'm really content with my play right now. I knew this would be big for me and difficult, and I kind of went in expecting to lose every game miserably. And I didn't. I won at least one game every match. I won a whole match and I tied another. So yeah, I'm really proud. I'm demoting, obviously, and that's okay. Other than that, our favorite mod, Razi, organized yet another tournament, only this time IRL, in Washington, D.C., capital of the United States. Ever heard of it? And since I was visiting a certain someone in the US anyway, I was able to participate. It was a small tournament with 9 players. It was at a wonderful game store called Labyrinth. Really neat place. Check it out if you're ever in the area. I was really happy to finally meet fellow Covenite and book clubber Becca the Jinx in person. Aku was there. Bobby DJ was there. Yes, it was great having everyone involved in one room and reenacting our favorite lines. It was pretty fun. Brand new Covenite Ada was there, Slugma was there, and Hochstetter, who has the most beautiful card storage system I have ever seen. A self-made wooden suitcase that doubles as play area. It was amazing. He plays exclusively IRL, which is wild to me, but also means that his cards are super up to date. I saw Lutz, I saw Marchland, or I guess I should rather say I touched them. I touched Lutz! I held Marchland in my hand! I love playing in person for the social aspect a lot, but yeah, the client is my bestie. It shuffles for me, it reminds me to do things like pay debt, or resolve my archive, or pick my first action, etc., etc. The client is my friend. Anyway, so Aku, Slugma, and Charar made finals, and our favorite mod took it away! Congratulations! Also, check out Char's Dominion card art quiz on Jetpunk. Link is in the description. Also, on occasion of being at the same place at the same time, karaoke had to be done. And let me tell you, Becca and Aku have amazing voices. It was such a joy to get to hear them and sing with them. And one of the songs we sang together was Queen's Somebody to Love, and it was incredible. It was so, so good. I feel blessed. We stan. And finally, I visited John's. Remember John's? Everyone say hi to John's, please. I hope he comes back to League someday. I know for a fact that I'm not the only one who misses him. People reminisce about the good old days of John's and Janiel's joint commentary. So, if for no other reason than our personal entertainment, come back, please. John's, come back. And with this, we have reached SpecChat, where I'll share thoughts on any given piece of media I've consumed over the week that is strictly non-Dominion related. So, I saw the latest Disney movie, Wish, a couple weeks ago, and I didn't like it much, but I have listened to the songs a couple of times since, and I am somewhat coming around on it. First things first, I'm coming around on it despite knowing what I know now, which is abysmal. It should have never been approved. It's a pathetic ripoff of Be a Man, and it doesn't even know it. I have rarely felt this offended by a Disney song. It's definitely on a level with Ich will kein Mann, which is the German edition of I Won't Say I'm in Love. I have a lot of hate for this song, for knowing what I know now. I think it's embarrassing. Like, I don't know. So many people have to sign off on these things, and this one's just terrible. And you just know that they thought that they were doing something amazing there, and it's pathetic. This aside, I think the songs are super interesting. I don't know, they feel very distinct from your usual Disney song. It's the cadence, the rhythm. I think they're fascinating. I have half a mind to reboot my Disney podcast because I find the song so interesting. And I have so many thoughts about them, and not just one or two, right? We have another classic villain song. Chris Pine is amazing. We have the intro song that is such a bop. We have this beautiful duet. We have this abomination of a song that shouldn't exist in this form, in my humble opinion. There is really lots and lots to talk about here. So I guess we'll see. I also think the animation isn't as bad as people say it is. It's noticeably different from past Disney movies as well, and I liked it. I like the textured feeling of it. If you want to criticize this movie, I don't think the animation is what you would want to go for. Now, in terms of story, I think this movie lends itself really well to an intersectional feminist reading, where I decided to view it as the story of overcoming white supremacist patriarchy as a community. So, Magnifico, the villain, is the patriarch who rules society and gets to keep his people's values and hopes and wishes and kind of like forms the social norms through those wishes. And he started at some point with good intentions, but now he's just obsessed with his position of power and maintaining this position. Asha, our protagonist, has the same values and hopes and wishes as Magnifico, and she recognizes that he has gone astray. He isn't actually interested in protecting his people anymore, he's only interested in protecting his power. So Asha starts a rebellion. She asks her friends to help her, so she realizes she can't do this on her own, because no one can like change social dynamics by themselves. It's not an individual task, it's a collective task. So she asks her friend to help her, and in the end the community steps up to overthrow Magnifico together. Because social change doesn't come through the actions of one individual, society has to fight for and protect its values from those who hate people and hate change. I don't know. I feel like at all costs, the duet about the wishes that Asha and Magnifico sing together, and Magnifico's song, like both these songs are so powerful in that reading, because I think most bigots feel that they have to protect values, right? That's like all that they're about. They don't consciously think of it as maintaining their position of power. They have these rigid ideas of how people should live, and they perceive everything that varies from that as a threat. But the things we want are the same, right? So it makes sense that Asha, our protagonist, and Magnifico, our villain, sing about the wishes together. Because we all want love and happiness. It's just that we have different ideas about how to achieve those. And then I also think many bigots have this sense of wounded entitlement. I don't know if that makes sense as a characterization, but just this idea of, hey, I am doing the right thing here. I am trying to do good in the world, and all I get in return is a shitstorm. All I get is hate. People should be grateful. People should thank me for all that I am doing for them every day. And I think that's a very real sentiment, even though, of course, I don't agree with that view. But I think it's super valuable to examine that. And I might be going too far here, but I feel like apart from Hellfire, this is, to me, one of the most realistic villain songs we have ever seen in a Disney movie ever. And yeah, I know there's not a lot of love for Wish out there right now, but somehow I feel like, I don't know, I'm just waiting. I'm just gonna wait like 2, 3, 5, 10 years for like all the video essays about Wish reevaluated. I'm curious if public opinion is gonna change on this one. That's it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. You can find me Thank you for tuning in. You can find me on Discord for feedback. I am at Strumpf, and I'll catch you all next time. The game has ended. Bye!